We praise you, you're our Saviour, our Creator, the one who loves us. And Lord, thank you, you've spoken in your word. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit to understand what you want us to hear, what you want us to know. And Lord, not only understand, but Lord, to deeply understand it in the sense that we respond, Lord. It's not a matter of hearing, it's how we live it, Lord. Help us by your Spirit to do that. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Could we have a PowerPoint, please?
We're, could you move back one?
That's the second one.
Yeah. That's all. Please. Twice. There we go. We're going through Luke's Gospel. We've got to chapter 7. And we're introduced again to John the Baptist. We've seen John the Baptist twice already. In his birth, a most unusual birth. His father was dumb for 9 months. You remember that? It's quite a wonderful, wonderful thing. And then we saw John the Baptist as he entered his ministry. And Jesus came down to the River Jordan, where John was baptizing. And John baptized Jesus. And then John's ministry continues for a little while. And then it fades. But we're going to read what happened to John in this next section. It's in Luke chapter 7, verse 18. So we'll just read that as we catch up with John the Baptist. So that's Luke 7. It says this. Verse 18. John's disciples told him about all these things, calling two of them. He sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to ask, 'Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right, because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves, because they had not been baptized by John. "To what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They're like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not cry.' For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by all her children." So reads God's word. Right, let's have a look then. John the Baptist. Well, it says John's disciples told him about everything that Jesus had been doing. His message on the mount and so on. The miracles he'd been doing. And John is told about what Jesus is doing. And so he sends a messenger, or two of them. He called two of them and sent them off to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Now, we need to bear in mind that from Matthew's Gospel, John has been put in prison. He's been arrested. He doesn't get out of prison until he's dead. And John is in prison. How do you think he felt? His ministry now effectively has come to an end. And he hears what Jesus is doing. And there are two possible explanations, I think, as to what's going on in dear old John the Baptist's head. Why did he ask the question? What was in his mind? One possible question or answer is that John the Baptist was... You remember when he came, he says the Messiah's going to come... Sorry, it's okay. When John the Baptist came, he didn't have a mobile phone. That was useful, yes. But he did say... When the Messiah comes, he's going to sort your lot out. He's going to burn all the rubbish up and clear the place out, right? So that was John the Baptist's message. The Messiah's going to come and sort you all out. And then he hears about Jesus, and all he's doing is going around curing people and telling people good news about God's kingdom. He's not sorting the Romans out. He's not shifted out all the authorities and cleaned them up. Jesus isn't doing it the way John the Baptist had said that it was going to happen. And maybe John the Baptist... because he was a rugged sort of guy, maybe he's thinking, I know what I'll do, I'll tell Jesus, it's about time you got to move on. Are you the one we want, or is somebody else is supposed to come, right? Maybe he's doing that, you know, stir him up a bit and get him shifted, right? That's possible. But I think there's probably a more likely reason is, when you've just been thrown in prison for doing the right thing, and things aren't going the way you want, and then the Messiah isn't doing it the way you expected, you think, have I got it all wrong? Have I made a mistake? Have you ever been there, you know? He had doubts. People have doubts, you know, when situations turn up not quite the way you thought they should. Then you begin to think, did I hear God right? And was that all just a bit of a fancy on my part? You know, lots of people do that. We've all been there. You know, that's part of life in this world, you know. Doubts do sort of turn up when you don't want them. But poor old John the Baptist, he sends this question to Jesus, and I suspect there's a bit of sadness in it. You know, he's saying, are you really the Messiah? Or is it somebody else? Did I get it wrong? Is what he's asking, really, isn't it? So, that's the question that John the Baptist asks. Okay, so let's move on to our next picture. So, we get this. At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses and evil spirits, all kinds of illness and problems, yeah? And he gave sight to many who were blind. And so he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Now the interesting thing is, what Luke says there is, at that very time Jesus cured many diseases. It looks like he doesn't immediately answer the two men who come to ask the question. You know, they turned up and they said, John the Baptist asked us, are you the one that's supposed to be coming or not, right? And Jesus, it seems, ignores their question for a moment and just carries on ministering to people. He lets these two people see the evidence. They can now see for themselves what Jesus is doing, right? So, in other words, he's saying, look at the evidence, what's going on around you, right? You're going to take this back to John the Baptist. Show him what's going on, what I'm doing. And the other is, he points them to the Bible. They were Bible students in those days, you know, ladies and gentlemen. They knew the scriptures. And so, I said it and I repeat it again, is when Jesus makes quotes, we don't often see it in quotes in our text, but when Jesus is making references to the Bible, it's instantly pushing bells in their minds, you know. They know what he's saying. They could give you the chapter and verse, virtually, if they got the numbers. But they didn't have numbers in the verses in those days. But they know what he's saying. And Jesus says this. He says, go back and report to John what you've seen and heard. And now he's just going to say, he says, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear and the dead are raised. Right, he's quoting from Isaiah there. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5 and 6. That's the quote Jesus is giving to the guys. He says, you've seen it. Now, this is what Isaiah said would happen. When would it happen? Because when Messiah comes, Messiah will do these things. Right? Get the logic? When these things happen, Messiah must be doing them. So, John hasn't got it yet. That's number one. And then he says, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. And that's a quote from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Who are the poor? People without money? No, that's not what he's talking about. The poor are the people that need God. Right? That's the point. Right? The people that need God are poor. But when they've got God, they're rich. Good news, eh? Do you want to be rich today? Get Jesus. Yes. Right, okay. So then when he's told them all this, he says, you go back and tell him what you've seen and heard, and basically says, draw your conclusions. This is what Messiah does. I'm doing it. I'm the Messiah. That's really what Jesus is saying to these disciples. So, okay. So, Jesus' mission is about... Oh, one other thing that's interesting. What was Jesus' mission? It wasn't to go and set fire to everything and throw them all out. It was to minister to people in their needs and to proclaim the good news. That's the mission that Jesus was on. Okay? John the Baptist was looking at the last chapter. There's a few more chapters in between that Jesus has to do before we get to the last chapter. When he does come back and sort them out. Right? So it's on the books, it's in the books, but it's not quite yet. That's the problem that John the Baptist had. He was expecting the future to be right now in the present. Next picture, please. Yeah. So then Jesus says this. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. That's a warning. He's sending it back to John the Baptist, you know. Blessed is anyone who doesn't stumble on account of me. Right? People can lose their faith because of Jesus. Isn't that interesting? That's what he's saying. Blessed is anyone who doesn't stumble because of me. Why do they lose their faith? Because of Jesus. We're supposed to believe in Jesus, aren't we? Right? Yeah? It's a gentle warning to John the Baptist. He says, hold on, you just keep trusting. Don't let it all confuse you. Hold on, you were right. God did speak to you, and I'm the Messiah. Right? But the problem is, you see, he's really saying is your faith, John the Baptist, is resting in the real Messiah, but it's not the Messiah as yet. It's I'm the Messiah now that's come to die and to minister life. The Messiah that comes back, Jesus, the risen Lord, is going to sort them out. And poor old John the Baptist is, in a sense, and he's not as bad as some of us, but, you know, sometimes you can believe in a Jesus that's make-believe. You know, your Jesus, gentle, meek and mild, isn't quite the way Jesus is in the Bible. If you want to know the real Jesus, find out him in the Bible. Right? And so, you must have your faith in the real person, because, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, your faith will have real trouble when Jesus doesn't do things the way you thought he should do. Right? When he doesn't do it the way you thought he should do, you've got the wrong idea about Jesus. Because Jesus is going to do what Jesus is going to do. And he's going to do it Jesus' way. That's the point he's saying to John the Baptist. I've got my plans, I've got my purpose, I will do it my way. Because that's the right way. And the wonderful thing we need to learn is this, when Jesus does it his way, even if you don't understand it at the time, you will one day look back and say, you know it was right. Yes. But it's in the present that we've got to hold on. And John, blessed are those who don't stumble on account of me. What do you do when Jesus doesn't do it your way? It must have happened. I guarantee it's happened in your life. You know? What do you do when Jesus doesn't do it your way? Right. Now, you should do what John the Baptist did as part of the answer. Go and ask him, what's going on, Lord? Right? John the Baptist did that. And Jesus doesn't criticize him for asking. Right? God is willing to answer, well, have your questions. Whether he'll answer them for you or not, I can't promise. Right? But he will answer them in some ways. Paul, the apostle, remember? Dear Paul, he had a really rough experience. Something that, he says he was given a thorn in his flesh. Whether it was an eye problem or something like that, it was a real physical trouble that he had, a real problem. And he says, I prayed to the Lord 3 times. And I prayed to the Lord, Lord, take it away. I can do better as an apostle without it. And the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And the Lord told him that 3 times before he got the message. And when he did get the message, he says, yeah, you're right, Lord. I can function better as an apostle if I'm struggling with physical issues, because it means I won't be so full of myself. I'll be more dependent on you. Whatever the solution for Paul, but Paul believed that the Lord could help him, and he got an answer. It wasn't the answer he wanted, but he got the answer, and then what did he do? When the Lord doesn't do it your way, and he tells you how he wants to do it, what should you do? Accept it. Trust him. And thank him. And, you know, he might turn the light off. Right? You never know. Okay, so that's a good lesson from dear old John. Next, please. Right. After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. Well, Jesus has just sent his disciples back with a message saying, John, don't lose it because of me doing it my way. Right? That's a criticism of John. But Jesus holds John in high esteem. And he's going to not let his reputation, in a sense, be tarnished by just this odd blip in his life, in a sense. So Jesus is going to offer some praise for John, proper praise for this dear man. And he asks two humorous questions. And then, did you know Jesus has a sense of humour?
Yes.
Good. I'm pleased. Yes. Humour is a gift from God, you realise that. Yes. Should be appropriate in the right place, but yes. So Jesus, these are very humorous questions. I can imagine the crowd, as the Jesus is there speaking to them, he says, when you went out into the wilderness to see John, what did you go and look at? A reed swayed by the wind. Big one. Ah! A reed swayed by the wind. What's that mean? Somebody who's a pushover.
Yes.
Right, you know? Somebody who goes this way, that way, depending how the wind is. John the Baptist was straight down the line. You know? If you got it from John the Baptist, there was no ifs and buts. And it was dead straight what John said. He was not a reed swayed in the wind. We need some John the Baptist around today, don't we? Because I'm afraid too many religious leaders and politicians, they go that way. They go that way. Yeah? No, John says it's that. That's why I got him in prison, you know. Yes, he told the king that it was wrong to have his brother's wife. The king didn't like it, and the missus didn't like it either. So they put him in prison. But John didn't retract. He says he's wrong. God says he's wrong. He's wrong. Okay, so he wasn't a reed swayed by the wind. Then he comes out, this is a killer, this one. He says then, oh no, well you didn't go to see a reed swayed by the wind. Well, did you go to see a man dressed in fine clothes? Fine clothes. Well, what did John the Baptist wear?
Camel.
It was camel's clothing, wasn't it? Yes. Yeah. He got the hump. No, he hadn't. It was camel's clothing. It was leather garments, basically. Fairly rough stuff, yes, rough stuff. He wasn't flash and posh. There's a nice suit for you. He said, did you go and see John Lennon? He wasn't the guy that put on airs and graces. He wasn't in any sort. And the wonderful thing about this is that John being where John was and dressed how John was, it meant that anybody could go to him. If you're in one of these suits, you won't visit them because they're in the palace. And you won't get there. That's why Jesus was born in the stable. You know that, don't you? If Jesus had been born in the palace, right, the shepherds would not have been let in. Right? But John the Baptist was accessible, not in his tweed suits. Nice having suits and all that, but there you are. Okay, so, and all the people know this is John the Baptist that Jesus is talking about. They knew John wasn't the reed, and he wasn't a toff, we'd say, wouldn't we? I suppose I did. Okay, so, next please. But what did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. It's a great compliment that Jesus pays. But it's the truth. Jesus isn't buttering him up. He's just saying it as it really is. He says that John had a unique role. He was more than a prophet. John's role was unique. And he quotes Malachi chapter 3, I will send my messenger ahead of you. John was the last of the Old Testament prophets. All the prophets in the Old Testament, and we've been looking at it for quite a while now, prophesy about the coming of the Messiah. Right? All of them have a bit about the Messiah in it. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Well, John the Baptist is the last in the line. He was prophesied about by the prophets to say, a messenger is coming who will prepare the way before you. So, John's the last one of the Old Testament prophets. And he fulfills that wonderful role. Right? So, what did John prepare? I've asked the question. He says, see, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. And what sort of way did John prepare? How is he preparing people? First thing was, he was calling them back to God. Right? Calling them back from their sin to God. He's saying, look, change your ways. The word is repent. Right? Do you want a bit of Greek? Yes. Well, he didn't speak Greek, but the Greek the translation is metanoia. It means to change your mind. Right? Change your mind about the way you see things. If God says it's wrong, what is it?
Wrong.
Are you sure now?
Yes.
God says it's wrong, it's wrong. If God says it's right, it's
right.
And God couldn't care less what the world says. And so what John the Baptist was doing was preparing the way for people to acknowledge that God's laws, God's standards are the right ones, and he's calling them to repent. And a lot of them did. The sinners, the word sinners in brackets, they were sinners, weren't they? But why did the leaders use the word sinner? It was a put down. You know, it was a put down. We call them peasants. We call them now, wouldn't we? Plebs is what the word that's around nowadays. That's what the word sinner implies, you know. These riffraff nobodies, right? Well, Jesus came to save the riffraff and the nobodies. Thank the Lord for that. So he prepared the way for these people that they would turn from their sins and be baptized. That was a sign that they were committing themselves to God's ways, right? That's what it was about, okay? So John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. Okay, so, and that, in a sense, again, is Jesus claiming about himself. He prepares the way. Well, if John the Baptist is preparing the way, he's done the job, I've come. I'm the Messiah. Again, people, if you do a bit of studying and reading about, you may find that Bible critics say, Jesus never claimed to be Messiah. They have no idea. They have no idea, honestly. I mean, Jesus is claiming to be Messiah right, left and centre, if you know where to look. This is the claim. Right, so, he's the one that the messenger was proclaiming. Next, please. Right. I tell you, how about this? I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. There's a little boy being, when he was born, his dad writing, his name is John, on the slate. Yeah. No one born among women is greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now, does that mean that John wasn't in the kingdom? Well, he says, John's the greatest, but the one who's in the kingdom is greater than him. It sounds like John isn't in the kingdom. Well, John is... Well, let's ask you this question. Is John going to be in heaven?
Yes.
Absolutely. So he's one of God's children. Right. What's the point that Jesus is getting at here? Is you see, he's first of all, he's saying about John, no one greater amongst human beings, born of women. Eh? Born of woman. Right. So, this guy was some seriously amazing bloke, wasn't he? John the Baptist. A great human being. Wonderful human being. But he says, you know, a believer, no matter what background or qualities of life you've had and whatever, if you come to the Lord and you're trusting in him and you're in his kingdom, you know, you are in a better position than all the best human beings on planet. Right. Even the humblest believer has got the Lord, which is wonderful. So, there's a quote in Galatians 4:1. Paul's talking about the Jewish believers before the Messiah came. He says, we were all kept under the law. It was like our school teacher. In those days, they had school teachers, you know, that kept you at the sort of private tutors. He says, the law, God's commands, his word, was a tutor to keep us in our place, keep us right, until Jesus comes, until the Messiah comes. And he says in that, the one who's the tutor is in charge of the one who's being taught. Is that right? Right? And yet the one who's being taught is the owner of the entire shebang. Right? You know, the lord of the manor gets the tutor in to teach his son. And yet the son is the heir of the manor. It's all his. And yet, while he's being taught, he's under the tutor. And that's what he's saying. The law was over us. So, in a sense, John the Baptist is like the student. And the believer is like the one that's grown up. Got the idea. So we're inheriting it. So that's what Jesus is getting at now. Right, so if you're in the kingdom, count yourself, you're blessed. Right, next please. All the people, even the tax collectors, how about that? Why did he say even tax collectors? You know, they are the lowest of the low. Remember that, yes. Still are, apparently. Yes. But even tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, why are tax collectors considered the lowest of the low, by the way? Apart from taking your money.
They were stealing as well.
It's not that they're stealing, well, they were stealing, some of them are helping themselves as well, but why were they considered the lowest of the low? They're working for the Romans, they're traitors. That's how they were seeing it. Okay. Right. Okay, but when they heard Jesus' words, they acknowledged that God's way was right, because they'd been baptized by John. See, being baptized by John had opened their minds up. They started hearing what Jesus was saying and saying, hey, he's right, you know. Okay? If you respond to God, God opens up more to you. That's the point, right? So they acknowledged what Jesus was saying was right, because they'd responded to God already. Right? Yet, it says, but the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves, because they had not been baptized by John. Now, that's sad, isn't it? Right? There's a difference between repentance and faith with John's disciples and the willful pride and unbelief. And there's something really sad. I don't know. Let me just underline those words. They rejected God's purpose for themselves. You know, God had a plan for them. It was a good plan for them. It was a wonderful plan for them. But they wouldn't have it. Isn't that a tragedy? That's the tragedy of all people that reject Jesus. God loves you, he's got a plan for you, and it's there waiting for you to start. Will you have it? That's the question, you see? So, these lot did. He said, so faith's, and I'm just saying that faith's response, they'd responded to John the Baptist, and so when Jesus comes, he prepared the way. He opened the door. So when Jesus comes, yes, he's right. You've got to see what I'm saying. As you trust God, he gives you more of him. That's the way it works. Right, next please. Jesus went on to say, to what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They're like children sitting in the marketplace, calling out to each other, we played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not cry. For John the Baptist came, neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Essentially what he's saying is you just can't please some people, you know. You do one thing and they say, bah. You do another thing, bah. Right? So Jesus is saying it's like a bunch of kids on the marketplace. There they are, they're playing their games. You know, kids are playing weddings. We'll have a game of playing weddings. And there's another bunch out there. Come on, join us for the wedding. No, we're bored. Yeah, that's the modern version, right? Yeah. No, we're bored. Right. So we won't go and play weddings. So they say, tell you what we'll do. Let's play funerals then. Let's have a go at funeral this time. No, we're bored. Right? So, you've got either way, you can't win. Right? That's what Jesus is saying. It's just like that. With these Pharisees and these experts in the law, John the Baptist comes along, strict, tough, straight lad, can't beat him, right? And they say, nah, he's got a demon. He's definitely off the planet. He's like, no, go with John the Baptist. No good. Right? And then Jesus comes along and he goes to the tax collectors and the sinners and he tells them about God's kingdom and he heals the sick and says, no, too easy, too flash, can't be having him. Right? So, you can't please him. Right? So, Jesus says, you know, that's your problem. Yeah, your critical spirit is a terrible state to be in. Next please, last one I think it is, yes. But wisdom is proved right by her children. There's the bowl, it's been emptied. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. Right. Jesus says, the results will speak for themselves. Yes. We'll find out where the real pudding is. Is it with those tax collectors and sinners and all that lot that have gone off the limits and they've come through to God? Will it be right with them or will it be with those that say, no, it's not him, we're the ones? You know who's going to win, don't you?
Yeah.
Right. Jesus says, wisdom will be proved right by her children. Jesus is saying this, really important. Brothers and sisters, don't panic. Just wait. You'll see who's right and who isn't. Just keep trusting. You'll find out where the truth lies. Yeah? So, the results with both John and Jesus will speak for themselves. John, and you know, Jesus asked the question. It may come later on in Luke's Gospel. Jesus asked the question to these leaders. He said to them, because they came to him, they said, Jesus, where do you come from? Who gave you the right to say what you say? Right? And Jesus says, I'll tell you what, I'll answer your question if you'll answer mine. Right? That's always good to do that, isn't it? And the question, he says, tell you what, this is the question. John, you know when John the Baptist came? Yeah? John's baptism, was he sent by God, or did he start up on his own? Right? Okay? And they go and have a huddle. Talk together, mumble, you know? They say, we can't answer this one. Because if we say it was from heaven, if it was God sent John the Baptist, then Jesus is going to say, why didn't you believe in them? Right? Right? But if we say it was his own idea, then all the crowd around is going to stone us because they think John was a prophet. Right? So they either get stoned by the crowd or they get slammed by Jesus, right? So they go back to Jesus and they say, we don't know. We don't know the answer was to that question. And Jesus says, and I'm not going to tell you answer either. He knew they were lying through their teeth, basically. So, anyway, Jesus says the results will speak for themselves, both for John and for himself. Next, please, then. Right, so this is summary we're going to get, right? Three things to learn from John the Baptist. Number one is, it's a blessing of being in the kingdom, right? Even the least in the kingdom is greater than John was in terms of his position in the system, right? So you're blessed. Are you blessed?
Yes.
You're in the kingdom. Yes. Trust in God. Come to the Lord Jesus and ask him to forgive your sins, right? That's a blessing. Wonderful. Right, the next thing, this is really, if you're in the kingdom now, you want to be doing things for the Lord, don't you? You want to serve the Lord, please him, trust him, right? Well, the importance of doing the Lord's work, the Lord's way, is really, Jesus did it, you see? He wasn't going to be sidetracked by John the Baptist trying to bounce him into something else or put him off, yeah? Jesus was doing it his way because it was Father's way. And brothers and sisters, we need to do that. I've got news for you. Yeah? It's this. You will not get people to faith in Christ by entertaining them. I mean, I like entertaining, it's good, isn't it? Yeah? But dear friends, what's God chosen to be the method by which people get saved, generally? It's through the preaching of his word. Now, a lot of people would say, wasting time, talking into the air, load of air, you know. No. It's God's power. Yeah? I came to Jesus through listening to somebody telling me about it. It's good, isn't it? It's the same. So, we do things God's way, and it will work. If you try to do it some other way, don't be surprised if it goes all awry. Next step.
Sometimes you can be talking to someone, and it's, the person who's listening in.
Oh, right, yes, the audience is listening, yes, right. Yeah, well, let God work the way God wants. And the last one is, when God does things his way, what do? Keep on trusting. Yeah. It'll work out. You'll see somewhere along the line, but you're going to have to trust. Yeah, it's not easy. But he didn't say it would be easy. But you know, why does God do it differently to you and me? Do you know what I mean? You know the song, if I ruled the world, every day would be the first day. Yeah, right? If I ruled the world, it'd be a complete pig's ear by next Friday. Honestly. Yeah. Let God have his way, and he'll work it out. Trust him. You've got to. And it's not easy. But friends, we're here to find out that he knows what he's doing. Dear old Job had this. And you read the book of Job. It's a sad but an amazing story. Job, when he's lost everything, family, finances, friends, health, all down the chute, what does he say? The greatest line in Job.
Trust him.
Bit more than that, he says, even if he kills me, I'll trust him. Even if he kills me, I'll trust him. He says, and if I do die, I know that I'm going to rise again, and in my body I'll see God. Fantastic, right? But, didn't have to kill him, he'd still get trusting. Okay, so Job, good example for us, but, you know, friends, if you can't understand, there may be things in your life and mine that only glory is going to solve for you. Yeah? You just have to be patient. And where do you get patience from?
Asking for it.
It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. But you know how the Holy Spirit works in producing patience is, quite often, he gives you something to trouble you. Right? I'm learning. But you know, I just, a little confession, you know. When things don't, it's things, it's not people. Yeah? When things don't do what they do, what they should do, you know, the way I want them to do, I call them stupid. What are you doing? So I'm talking to them as if they're real things, you know, and they can answer back to me, you know. But they're only things. I'm going to have to learn it's me that's the problem, not the thing, you know. Do it right and it'll work. If you don't do it right, it won't work right. Alright, keep trusting, brothers and sisters, we're going to win. We're on the victory side, right? It might look like we've lost, just think, let me tell you, we're going to come to it in a moment, right? The resurrection makes Good Friday, Good Friday. But when they were in Good Friday, it was a lousy Friday. Yes? Well, brothers and sisters, you have the benefit of knowing that Sunday's coming. Right? So when you're in your lousy Friday,
Know that the future is going to be bright. Make it a good Friday for you.
Amen.
By faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Let's pray, shall we? And then sing a song of trust in the Lord, yeah? Father, thank you for your wonderful grace. We bless you, Lord, that you're wiser than we are, stronger than we are, and Lord, patient, more patient than we are. Oh, Lord, we love you and thank you for your grace to us. Thank you for helping dear old John the Baptist, Lord. It was a tough old time for him, Lord, but you saw him through. He's in the glory now, Lord, and praising you forever. Lord, thank you for those tax collectors and sinners that began to respond to you and found more and more light in doing that. Oh, Lord, thank you that you have a purpose for all of us. May we not reject it out of willful pride and foolishness. Help us to trust you. Put our lives in your hands. And as we do that, Lord, to find that you will lead us, sometimes through very hard and interesting ways. But, Lord, you're leading us home. And thank you, Lord, the best is yet to be. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.